Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, hosted by Tim Tarantine and Amanda Harrison.
Welcome to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Tim Tarantine, happy to be here with my friend Amanda Harrison. And Amanda, you had a conversation with another giant in our industry. Tell us about that conversation.
Thanks, Tim. I spoke with Annie Baxter this week. She is the Director of Global Commerce at the Georgia Department of Economic Development. She specializes in logistics, energy, agribusiness, and foods. Prior to becoming director of this sector, she held multiple positions within Georgia's Department of Economic Development. So she's been a senior project manager of aerospace, defense, and advanced manufacturing. She's also worked in business development. So she's got lots of great experience, and she brings tons of energy to the conversation. So sit back and take a listen to what Annie has to say.
Hi, Annie. Thanks so much for joining us today on From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers, and welcome to the podcast.
Great. Thanks so much. It's exciting to be a part of this group of economic developers across the U.S. that you guys have recognized.
Well, we are excited to have you and get to know more about you today. So let's get started with what's one thing everyone should know about you?
One thing everyone should know about me is that I am a native Georgian. Both sides of my family are from Georgia. I'm a University of Georgia graduate, so I work for the Georgia Department of Economic Development and effectively be part of the sales team to recruit new industry for our state is really a passion for me, and it's very exciting to be a part of the team that's helping grow our state and move it into the future.
Absolutely. So tell us about how you got to where you are today. How did you choose a career in economic development, and what brought you to the position you're in now?
Sure. So I have degrees in Spanish and public relations and did not start in economic development. My first job, I was working outside the state, wanted to find another opportunity, kind of shift away from being in public relations. Through a family friend of mine, found out about a job opening at a local economic development organization in Albany, Georgia, which is close to my hometown. So it's really serendipitous that through relationships, I was able to find a position and find out about this world of economic development. And it's pretty interesting because you find if you stay in this business that everything you do is really based on those contacts and relationships. So it was a great way to start in leveraging my contacts to find my position in economic development, now having been able to grow and move into a statewide role.
So tell us, since you are working for the state of Georgia, tell us about what sets apart Georgia from other states. For you, it'll be fun because it's not just a specific region or community, but how do you sort of differentiate yourselves from others when you are looking to attract or even grow the companies that you have?
Absolutely. So I'd start with talking about how we're organized. I think that Georgia has a teamwork approach to economic development. We often say that we think that economic development is a team sport, and one of our greatest strengths is in our public-private partnership. The Georgia Department of Economic Development, on the project management side, when we're working directly with companies, on each of our projects, we work directly with one of our three power providers. Electric Cities of Georgia, Georgia EMC, and Georgia Power, all three have economic development groups that are housed in the same building with the Georgia Department of Economic Development, apart from their own headquarters. And those groups are charged with creating jobs and investment, just as our agency is. And they've invested in resources in engineering and research and other tools that we're able to use to help market the state. So that partnership enabled to leverage private sector resources in order to recruit businesses is a real plus for us. And we found that that works very well. We also have our Georgia Allies partnership, which is the public-private partnership with our major corporations, along with the Georgia Department of Economic Development, again, leveraging private resources in order to market our state as a group, as these corporations understand that if we're bringing in a new industry and their new companies are entering the state, that their businesses will grow as well. Furthermore, if you look at the Southeast, and we're consistently competing with our geographical neighbors, Georgia's unique in that our population is at 10 million, the metro Atlanta population, almost 5 million, but we're in a low-cost area. We're a right-to-work state. We're a low-tax state, but we also have the presence of an international city and the busiest airport in the world. And when you couple that with the Georgia Ports Authority and the fact that it's the fourth largest and the fastest growing port in the U.S., our comprehensive logistics solutions, coupled with a variety of locations between very rural and more metro, we have a very diverse industry base, and we have a lot to offer as a low-cost location, but for companies that are also looking for more amenities in a larger city.
Yeah, so I'm sold. I mean, you just gave us the best pitch for your state, so we can see why you are definitely on this list with the top economic developers. So with that being said, can you tell us about one project that you have worked on that you might be most proud of in your career?
So the project for which I'm most proud is a project that we worked with Caterpillar with their building construction products component that's headquartered in Cary, North Carolina. We first engaged with the project in November of 2011, and this was a very fast-track project. Unfortunately, all of our sites were cut by December, so we were scrambling right before Christmas of that year to find new sites to submit. We had a site that also had been considered for many other projects in the past. It was a large site that the owner did not want to divide. And then we also had a site that crossed two different communities. We had to work very quickly to get two municipalities to work together, to get an owner to agree to split up a site that had not previously been split up. And then, oh, by the way, we had to get engineering work done that should have taken 2 months in a matter of 2 to 3 weeks. So the teamwork approach between, I was working on the utility partner side, we worked very closely with the state, hand in hand with the locals, and a local engineering firm as well that was kind of a hero in getting a lot of this work done, and along with the consultant Mike Mullis, who really helped coach us through the process. Long story short, 6 weeks later, we were announced as the location of choice. So the takeaway from that is the project was successful because everyone on the team put in as much as they could, and no one wanted credit. They just wanted to get the work done. And there were lots of nights and weekends involved, and the commitment of each and every person really made the project a success.
Yeah, it sounds like a great example of, like you said, collaboration. So that's a best case example, a project that you're really proud of that you won. Can you tell us about the flip side of that? So is there a project that you've worked on in your career that maybe you didn't win and there was a lesson that you took from that experience?
Absolutely. And unfortunately, there are quite a few that we don't win. We prefer to focus on the wins, but really, we try to analyze our losses so we can become better as an organization and as a state and use those examples to help us reconfigure our incentives if that's where we're losing projects. One project, an industrial project we lost last year, I won't call it by name, we felt that because this was an international company and we had a site that was just about an hour north of Atlanta, that was a major advantage for this company being headquartered overseas and making their first North American investment. However, we ultimately did not win the project. There was a very aggressive incentives proposal put on the table by us, but also by our competitor, and our competitor took it a little further than we did. So I would say that the takeaway is you can't rest on the fact that you're having the busiest airport in the world and one of the best ports on the East Coast. You can't rest on your infrastructure that's in place and expect to always win projects. You have to be as aggressive as possible for every piece of the incentives proposal in order to make sure that we're leaving nothing on the table.
Now, that's a great example. Turning to you a little bit as the leader, can you talk to us about how you define success for yourself?
Success for me is defined in how I'm able to continue to cultivate relationships and bring in more leads to try to win business here in Georgia. And then also with my team, helping my project managers that I work with on the team that I lead here at the Department of Economic Development, helping coach them and give them that experience in getting to work projects and build those relationships so that they are also getting opportunities to win deals for Georgia and learn by actually working with the companies and getting boots on the ground.
So Annie, thanks for your time today. We're going to get you out of here on this last question. As you look to the future, what do you feel will be the most important thing for communities and economic developers to focus on, or in your case, even states?
Sure. I think one of the most important things to focus on is continued workforce development. That's going to continue to be a driver for where companies decide to put locations. And our governor actually has put together what he calls a high demand career initiative. So he has done listening sessions around our state to listen to industry to find where those pressure points are on workforce, and then work with our technical college system as well as our university system to put degree programs in place in order to start funneling people into those degree programs to make sure that we're keeping a qualified workforce in place. An example of that is the Savannah region has a big presence of aerospace with Gulfstream in Savannah and a lot of advanced manufacturing. Our governor heard from industry in that region that they needed more engineers. And so there already has been announced a manufacturing engineering degree, which will take place at Georgia Southern University in Statesboro in that Savannah region. So we're really working hard to continue to develop our workforce development and put programs in place that can move quickly to get people trained to get those personnel put in place with our new industries and existing.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. We appreciate your insights and your time and just hearing a little bit about what you are doing down in the state of Georgia. And we just want to congratulate you again on being named to the list of North America's top 50 economic developers.
Great. Thank you so much. It's been fun.
Thank you for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, where we're working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.com or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.